Hallelujah.
Come on, that's it.
Come on, he's worthy of all the praise. He's worthy tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for being here tonight. There's quite a few out here tonight. Amen. I appreciate you being faithful and even knowing what I'm going to be speaking on. It scares some people away. But hopefully tonight, this message will help you to understand how important it is. I want to speak to you tonight. Does God expect me to give to support the work of God? Does God expect me to give to support the work of God? Lord, we thank you. Ask you, God, to touch and speak here tonight. Let your will be done right now. In Jesus' name, touch in each one here. God, I pray you lay a burden on each heart, Lord, to be a support and a blessing to your kingdom. In Jesus' name. You'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 29, 10 through 19. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 19. Verse 10, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the majesty, and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are your people?" Listen to what David's saying here. "But who am I and who are your people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight. We were all, as were all our forefathers. Our day on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided, building your temple for your name." Who built the temple? People did. "It comes from your hand." David's saying, look, we gave the money, but it comes from you. And it all belongs to you. "I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with the integrity. All things have I given willingly and without honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you." I just wonder tonight, are we willingly, with joy, giving to God? "O Lord God of our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you." David's saying, look, we give, God, but it comes from you. And God, keep this desire in their hearts to give to you. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. We're going to read verse 6 through 12. "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances." David said, Lord, keep this desire in the heart. Here God is saying, you've gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. He says, "Return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return?" God said, return. They said, where do we need to return? And look what God says. "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. How do you rob God? But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse. Why? Because you robbed God. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. He says, Jesus said, God says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Where is that? That's the house of God. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Who doesn't want that? And pour you out a blessing. I asked this morning, how many want blessings? Everybody raised their hand. That there shall not be room enough to receive it. Listen to what God says. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Why do we have to devour? Because of the curse. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. You can be seated. So today I want to talk about the question, why do I need to give to support the work of God? You know, there are some people who complain that every time they come to church, all the preacher ever talks about is money. You ever heard people say that? Well, if there's anybody here today that thinks that, that tells me at least two things about your spiritual life. First, you must not come to church a lot. Because I know what the sermons have been. And I know how often I talk about money. Number two, if all you ever hear is about money when you go to church, then listen, folks, money must be causing a problem for your spirituality. And God is trying to get your attention to get through to you. Come on. See, listen to me. David wanted to build the temple. But God did not allow him to do so. Instead, his son Solomon, God said, would build it. So David has called the people. He says, well, if I can't build it, then I'll collect everything that needs to be done for it. So he calls the people. David calls the people and he says, I want you to give. I want you to give money and gold and all these things so that Solomon will have what he needs to build the temple. Now, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, here it comes. He just told us that David called all the people to give their money, to give their stuff, so that the temple could be built. You see, now he's going to tell me that we all need to give our money because God needs it. So that God can do his work in the world. Well, I'm not going to tell you that. Instead, I'm going to tell you tonight, folks, that God doesn't need your money. Listen to me. God doesn't need your money. You know why? Because everything belongs to him already. Your money belongs to God. Amen? God doesn't need it. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. God's just letting you borrow it. You better be a good steward of it. Amen? He also says again in First Chronicles 29:12, he says, wealth and honor come from you. Amen? Chronicles 29:16 says, O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building your temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. Folks, so God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money because everything already belongs to him. Just listen to me. When my boys lived in my house, they had their own bedrooms. And it was their job to make sure they stayed clean. Right? And they kept their belongings in there. And they just thought, this is my room. But one thing they had to understand, it's my room. It's my house. And I would enter any time I wanted to, and I would do whatever I wanted in their room. But it was their room. It's still known as Nick's room and Nate's room. Oh, Dad, when they moved out, Dad would walk by and choke up. But folks, it's called Nate's room and Nick's room, but it's mine. And their mother's. Can't forget her. Her name's first on the deed anyways. But that's the way it is with God. That money may be in your bank account. That money may be in your wallet. But it's God's money. And if God wants to do something with your money, He will do something with your money. And if God says it's your time to expire, God's going to take that money and somebody else is going to use it. And all of your wealth along with it too. Because you ain't taking it with a U-Haul. Everything belongs to God. Even the things that He has given to us. You see, we can't give something back to God that doesn't already belong to Him. God doesn't need your money because He can create anything that He wants to. In 1 Chronicles 29:11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. David refers to God's greatness. He refers to God's power. You see, God clearly showed His power in creation. If you can't look around, I sometimes just walk out and I look at the trees and the things, and when you're driving down the highways and you see the mountains and different things, and I'm like, God, You are so awesome. When you see the sun rise up in the morning, when you see it set in the evening, when you see the moon come out, and you see the beautiful stars, amen, God is an awesome God. He can create whatever He wants. He shows His power in His creation. You see, God is almighty. God is all powerful. Who simply spoke some words and brought everything that there is into existence, folks. And He didn't even have to speak the words if He didn't want to, and it still would have happened. God is the one who made all of the gold. God made all of the silver, the diamonds, and all the other precious metals, and the stones, folks, and put them into the ground in the first place. God just put them in the ground. Would you put your diamonds in the ground? No, you got them probably locked up in a safe somewhere. God just put them in the ground. He talks about heaven. You're going to walk on streets of gold. That's how it means to God, but that's how great our God is. You see, God made all of the oil from which the fuel was made, and He put it in the ground, and He doesn't even need it anyways, folks, because He's everywhere. He doesn't need the oil to travel like we do. Right? In 1 Chronicles 29:14, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from You, and we have given You only what comes from Your hand. 1 Chronicles 29:16, O Lord our God, as for all the abundance that we have provided for building You a temple for Your holy name, it comes from Your hand. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need our money, folks, because God can create anything He wants to. He can make anything happen that He wants to make happen. Just looking back at some of the miracles in the Bible reminds us of God, reminds us of this, and God revealed His creative power when He brought the plagues upon Egypt. Wasn't that awesome? He parted the Red Sea. He stopped up the Jordan River, brought down the walls of Jericho, made the sun to stop and go back. And in any number of miracles, God, throughout the Word of God, God can do anything. The miracles of Jesus also shown us that God, even in the human form, has the power to create and change natural ways of things. Do you remember when Jesus told Peter to go fishing one day? He told Peter to catch a fish, and then he said, look into the mouth, and he showed that he would find some money there. He was to use that money to pay the temple tax for himself and for Jesus. And Jesus didn't need any of the money. You see, he could get money from a fish. God doesn't need your money. There is no reason for us to think that God needs our money to do His work. Who do we think we are? We don't give our money to the church because God needs our money. He doesn't need your money. You know that. You know what, folks? I'd even go so far as to say God doesn't want your money. Say, Pastor, you're preaching on Building Fund Sunday, and you're telling us God doesn't want your money. Let me tell you what God wants. Listen to me. You know what God wants? You. That's what God wants tonight. He doesn't want your money. He wants you. And because God knows everything, He knows that you and I, all of mankind actually, because of our sinful nature, we will undoubtedly choose to rebel against God. God knows that. Now, God doesn't want to make us obey Him. He doesn't want to make us. He wants us to obey Him on our own. So, to counter that rebellion, God chooses people to help us come back and to focus on Him like a pastor. That's why we need a pastor. That's why we need leadership, because God knows our rebellious nature. And if we don't have people to help us focus on Him, we will rebel and go opposite of what He wants. God knows that. Isn't He a great God? Isn't He an awesome God? Now here's how He did it for the nation of Israel. You ever heard of the tribe Levi? God said, from the tribe of Levi, the priest will come from the tribe of Levi. Members of the tribe of Levi will be responsible for the tabernacle, the tents, the putting it up and taking it down, carrying the tabernacle and all the supplies. The tribe of Levi, that was their responsibility. And all the furnishing, the altar and the bowls and the tables, everything. God laid out His plan for the tribe of Levi to do the work in providing spiritual leadership for the whole nation of Israel. Isn't that awesome? You know, God knows that these people, they're busy with their lives. And unless they have somebody there that says, here's the tent, the tabernacle. Don't forget to worship God. Come on, folks, we know how hard it is sometimes just to do the things that we know we should be doing. Come on. And you need a word of God from a man of God that says, you got to live right. Get out of that sin. Do what God wants you to do. See how much God cares for His people? God laid out this plan for the tribe of Levi to do the work of providing spiritual leadership for the whole nation of Israel. And God said this, that that's a full-time job. And these folks, these Levites, these priests, they are not going to be able to settle onto a piece of land when I bring them into the promised land. God says, I'm not even giving them land. I don't want them farming the land. I don't want them raising cattle and sheep. I want them to do the job of bringing the spirituality to my people. I want them to help tell the people you need to live for God. You need to stay on course. I know you're busy, but you got to live for God. And the Levites, they are taking care of the spiritual needs of the nation, so they can't do all those things with land like you will do and top off trying to provide for their own families. I want them to be focused on helping you to live for God. And I don't want them to have their families in the field. Okay? So here's what God did when He established the law. In Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Leviticus 27:32, and all the tithe of the herd of the flock, whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So then in Numbers, He said that because they are not going to get an inheritance of the land. Here's what He said in Numbers 18:21. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth of Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. God provided, folks, for their physical needs through tithe, so that they could focus on the spiritual need of the people. Because see, God knows that we need someone to help us focus on Him, or we will move farther and farther away from Him. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Listen, Peter said, I'll never deny you. God knew he would. God knows our tendencies. He said, Peter, you're going to deny me. Never, never, never. You could sit here tonight and say, well, I don't need that spiritual guidance. I can serve God because I love God. You're a fool. Come on. Listen, we don't live in the tribe of Levi today in our churches. We don't have it that way. But we organize into churches, and we have pastors, we have ministers from time to time. And in the UPC, we have district sections, and we have presbyters over sections, and we have districts with district superintendents in each state. And we have headquarters at general headquarters in St. Louis area, and then we have a general superintendent. We have district conferences, and we have general conferences and camps at NAYC in midwinter and all these things. Why? To help support the local ministry as well as help us carry out the Great Commission around the world. You see, the tithe, the offerings, the building fund, the missions offerings, and go on and on and on. These things pay the bills of the church, and they provide materials, and they provide supplies, and supports the ministry. And it goes on and on, so that we can do the missions locally and around the world. Let me tell you something. The electric company don't just let us have electric free. We don't have gas so you can have heat here tonight. It don't just come free. We had to pay for this building. That stuff doesn't just happen, folks. God expects us to do our part. He expected Israel to take care of the Levites so they could take care of the tabernacle and all these things. And that's, so all these things, we want to do all these things around the world. We want to reach the missions around here. We want to reach the missions in the world. And that's one of the reasons why we give our money to God through the church to provide for those things to help us focus on God. And really, the second thing that I'll mention about that comes out of the same thing. When we lose focus on God, we forget that God wants us. Hear me. That God wants our heart. When we lose focus, we forget God wants us and our heart. And one of the ways that we rebel against God is that we put more value on things that God has given us than we do on God Himself. Come on, that's the way, let me tell you something, folks. I'm going to get a little political here. All these tree huggers, there's more focus on the creation than the Creator. Look, I believe we need to take care of stuff. But you better focus on the Creator instead of the creation. Come on. We cannot lose our focus on God and what God expects out of us. But in this passage in 1 Corinthians 29, we see the people of Israel, at least at this point in their history. You know, they were always up and down, just like us. Right? At least at this point in history, they are right with God. And listen to the scripture again. And I want you to notice the humility, the praise, and the focus of God. In 1 Corinthians 29, 11 through 17, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You exalt as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are under the rule of all, are the ruler of all things. In your hand are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight. We are all our forefathers. Our days on the earth like a shadow without hope. Our Lord, our God, as for all this abundance, we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name. It comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with the integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with an honest intent. And I know I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Folks, we don't give our money to the church because God needs it or even wants it. God wants you. And when He has you, you'll do what you need to do. Amen? God understands that. And part of the reason that we need to give is because when we don't allow it to grab a hold of us, and when we give it willingly and with an honest intent and joyfully, we are giving ourselves to God. And that's what He wants. Amen? That's what He wants tonight. Now listen, maybe you're here and there's a lot of concern about your money in your life. Maybe you're one of those that has too much money. And you're having too much can occupy your life and can occupy your thoughts. Well, I'd like to help you with that problem. Okay? Maybe you feel like you have too little money. And you can't help but think about it because you feel like you need more. Now, either one of these can be true tonight. And you can put more value on it than what you give to God. You can focus on not having enough money and not be focused on God. You can be focused on all the money that you do have and not be focused on God. You see what I'm trying to say tonight? God wants you. And He wants you to be faithful. He wants you to be obedient to Him. He wants you to have a part in supporting His church and can help you spiritually to focus on Him, folks, and to teach you truth of His word, and can give you a place to develop Christian friendships and can provide opportunities of service and witness. God wants you to be a part of all of that. Now, though you give, you're giving and other involvement, you are. Maybe you need to confess to God that money has too tight a grip on your life. And that you are ready to give yourself to God and to let Him be what is most valuable in your life. Maybe you've never trusted in Jesus as your Lord. This is a day, folks, to get right with Him. To give all of yourself to Him and to trust in Him. This is the day. Amen? I need some ushers up here. One of these are for your pledge. Take the green one and your pledge. This is the pledge I'm going to make every month. However you want to do it. Every week, 6 months. You just write it on there. The other one is for you to put in your checkbook so you can check it off every month and say, I paid. Or you can go online, right, Brother Rob? And it'll tell you. You can look and see your giving report online. If you don't know how to do that, talk to Brother Rob. Well, listen, folks. Let me help you out here tonight. I want to help you. Just because you don't come to church doesn't mean that you don't have to pay tithes. Hear me? Just because you don't come to church. I've seen people where they weren't here for a week or two. They didn't pay tithes for that time. They only pay tithes when they come. That's God's money. You're robbing God. You know, when you go on vacation, try not paying your landlord. Well, I wasn't there for 2 weeks. Come on. Call the electric company and say, hey, I wasn't home for 2 weeks. I ain't paying for that time. Think about it. Try not paying your car payment because you were gone and for 2 weeks or 3 weeks for a vacation and your car sat in the driveway. Folks, pay your tithes to God, no matter what. Listen, when you make a yearly pledge, building fund pledge, it's not okay to stop paying a few months after you make the pledge. That happens very often. People make a pledge on nights like this. Maybe pay that pledge once or twice, maybe three times, and then they're done. You don't see it the rest of the year. You made a pledge. You're not making the pledge to me. You're making it to God. God doesn't want your money. God wants you. Okay? This is to the Lord, folks. This is to see His kingdom go forward here in Cleveland, Ohio. I believe if we are faithful to these things, that God will bless us. Because see, let me tell you something. That building that we're going to get, it's going to come from here. All of us here. Now, you being faithful to God, God can bring somebody in your life to say, hey, I'll make a donation to the church. It can happen. But God is looking for faithfulness. And if we are faithful to the things of God, then He will bless us. Right? All of you parents here, when your children weren't obeying, they didn't get the blessings from you. They didn't get an ice cream when the ice cream truck went by if they were being bad, right? When they're good, that's when you reward them. When you are faithful to God and you say, God, I want to give myself to You, that's when He will bless you. Just one real quick note here. When you pay tithes and offerings, if you use the check, listen, you can write it. Some people write a check for building fund, some people, and then a separate check for offering. You can do all that on one. You can put it all in one envelope if you want to. Just trying to help you out. Save your checks. Okay? Just write on down on the memo what it is. But I want you to, right now, let's just stand before the Lord. And I want us to pray here tonight. That God will speak to you how much you can keep. All right? Lord, we love You. God, we just ask You right now that You'll touch every heart here tonight. And God, that there are hearts here tonight that say, God, I want to give myself to You. God, right now, Lord, You don't need their money. You want them. And help us here tonight to understand that, Lord God, and to, Lord, commit ourselves from here on out. Let Your will be done. We give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, if you have it filled out, amen, remember, you keep the yellow copy. We want the green copy back tonight with your name on it, okay, and how much. So please, if you have that, fold it up. The ushers will come by with the offering bags. You can put it in there. Thank you. If you need a pen, Brother James is passing out pens. If you make a donation of $1,000 a month, we'll give you a free pen. Pretty good, huh? You didn't know I had it in me.